We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Six games in nine nights,
I think, you know, and come away with, you know, a few points is definitely nice. And you know, you just say at the beginning of the Western Canada trip, we're going to go 1-1-1, probably take it. Obviously, we wanted more, but, you know, we'll take our 3 points and go home and try and get 6 points this week.
It's Kyle Oposo, returned to the lineup. Had a good trip in Western Canada. The Sabres are, with a couple goals, the Sabres are home tonight against St. Louis. Again, it's if you're looking for it on TV, NBCSN, it is a 7:30 face-off because it's on the network TV. And but if you want to hear the Sabres call, of course, we'll have it for you here on WGR. Our coverage begins at 6:30 with the Paul William Belt pregame show. We've been talking football today about the Bills coming off the loss to Baltimore. What you're thinking big picture, you're feeling better about the Bills, you're feeling the same about the Bills. I wouldn't expect you'd feel worse about the Bills, but far be it for me to talk for you. Put up a web poll on that at WGR550.com. We're also talking about it at 803-0550. If you need our toll-free number on that or anything else this morning, 888-550-2550 to join us. And we were having some fun. I was chuckling about the latest allegations of cheating by the New England Patriots. Maybe you feel more serious about it. Personally, I found it very funny. But if you want to share any comments on that, that's fine too. And whatever else is on your mind, that's cool. And we'll get to you know what in about, I don't know, 10 minutes.
You picking the Bills?
It won't take long. We've only got three games left on the schedule.
I was thinking we should go quarter by quarter.
Yeah.
You could pick Bills,
so,
Steelers.
Like,
first quarter.
Who's winning the score like in that quarter?
First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. You know, you give the Bills a couple bad third quarters because sometimes that's troublesome for them.
I'm going to need more money.
Hey,
it's a lot more work.
Works for me. I mean, I'm not paying it.
I'm going to have to take the coin out of my pocket.
There are only three games left, though.
Where has the season gone?
What's the story of the season so far?
Holy crap, they're going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think sums it up for me.
Yeah, maybe. I hear sometimes that they're ahead of schedule. You agree with that? That the Bills are ahead of schedule.
Okay, by my determination, I would say yes, because I did not expect them to be in the playoffs this year. So if it's simply based on what did I think the season was going to be, record-wise, yes, this would be ahead of my schedule.
It all depends on when you looked at the schedule, I think, right? And I don't mean the actual schedule of games they play. At the start of this season, if you were to say 9-3 heading to the Baltimore game, you'd say like, oh yeah, wow,
oh, yeah,
that's ahead of schedule.
Right.
The day that McDermott gets hired, are they ahead of schedule? You know, 9-3 in year three,
yeah,
pushing for a playoff berth. I think that would be an ideal kind of schedule. Year one even included there with a, you know, a surprise playoff appearance, draft the quarterback. But
it's funny, no, I would change my vote then. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
And you think
because
they're
by
on
year
schedule?
By year three, you'd say, okay, they're going to come in, they're going to blow this thing up, they're going to put together their own roster, and in year three, you should be competing, if not in the playoffs.
Sure. The reason I ask it that way is think about who's going to fire their staff this year. Let's say the Browns. Carolina. Right. So if Carolina makes the playoffs in 3 years, any coach that gets hired today,
it shouldn't take longer than 3 years, you might say.
Yeah, you would
think
you would want to be at least competitive by year three. And I understand that they were competitive in year one, and then last year was a bit of a, you know, hey, young quarterback. Quarterback room was a bit of a mess. You know, things weren't really stabilized there, and that's the main reason.
Yeah.
If Allen stays healthy the whole year last year, maybe they win 7 games or 8 games. But it's just about like being ahead of schedule. I think they're about on schedule. They've done everything they said they were going to do with clearing the books and bringing in their guys and winning their way and putting together a good defense. I mean, in terms of what Sean McDermott and or Brandon Bean could have promised you right when they got hired, this is about, I don't want to say it's as good as you could ask for, because you could be better than this, but it's fair to say that they've done about as good as you could expect.
I changed my answer because I think there are two things in play here, really. You can evaluate it. If you'd look at it from day one, you'd have one answer. And then if you fast forward to the beginning of year three, you'd have another. And here's why. When they came in, okay, McDermott first and then Bean. A lot of times when you see football ops cleaned out like that, they just come in and start blowing this thing up right away. They really didn't do that in year one. They kept Tyrod Taylor. You know, they kept some. They traded some guys out that they didn't feel were.
They blew out almost everything else.
They got rid of some guys they didn't feel were, quote, buying in.
Sure.
But, I mean, the massive overhaul came after year two. I mean, that's when they. I mean, this last offseason is when they said, okay, we just have to redo the offense.
Well, that's when they had the space and the money to spend.
So it was really a 2-year massive overhaul. It wasn't. We're blowing everything up right away. We're getting rid of everything. We're taking all the dead hits. We're doing everything right away. We're getting all. It took them 2 years to clean out the roster, open up the cap space, and then in that third offseason, now we're going to redo offensive line help. We're going to, you know, we're going to sign a couple of receivers, you know, all the stuff they wanted to do. So to me, that's why I think there are two different answers. The day McDermott gets hired, you would say, year three, playoffs? Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah.
You know, coaches should be able to turn a program around by their third year. But because of the fact that this team took 2 years to blow up the roster and get the cap space and identify their quarterback, and he had an injury short in year two, to me, I would say if I just evaluated before opening day this year, to me, they're ahead of my schedule because I did not think this team was going to be in the playoffs this year. And they are going to be in the playoffs.
What will the schedule,
I didn't think that was going to happen.
What will the schedule say at the start of next season?
Well, next, you've got to be talking about your contending with whoever it is in the AFC.
For the division, too.
For the whole schmear.
Yeah, next year is...
Oh, it's at least... I'm talking beyond the division. The whole schmear.
Okay. I'm saying next year win the division. Be there.
Be in the discussion as a Super Bowl contender.
And if you win the division, then you're probably at least getting a look at that.
Because what are we anticipating for this next offseason? The defense, in large part, will be back. The biggest questions are... Shaq Jordan Phillips are the two big
and Lorenzo, has he got another year in him?
Yeah, I don't know. But even if they say, hey, Lorenzo, thanks, it's not going to derail the defense. Your two key decisions, and everybody else is under contract, your two key decisions are, what are you doing with Shaq Lawson? What are you doing with Jordan Phillips? They're both unrestricted free agents. Now, you should get, I would expect, a healthy Harrison Phillips comes back. So that helps your defensive tackle situation. So the defense should be intact next year. Maybe Leslie Frazier gets a head coaching job. Who knows? But it should be the players back. We anticipate them doing what in the offseason? Bringing in a receiver in some way, shape, or form to impact this offense. Maybe there's another move for a tight end. You know, they can certainly use help there. I would think there'll be another move involving a running back because I don't see Frank Gore coming back next season. So if I'm going to look at this team and go, wow, this defense is one of the best in the league, and I anticipate them finding more weapons for Josh Allen, you've got to be talking about the whole schmear, I like that term, the big picture and contending as one of the top teams in the AFC next year. You just went toe-to-toe with the team we think is the best in the league, if not the second best. Okay, now get your offense a little bit better, and you should be in the mix next year. I would expect it.
Quick thing on personnel decisions going forward. We hear a lot about should they dress Duke Williams. T.J. Yeldon's another one, and I was thinking about this for the game against Baltimore.
Yeah, his name came up yesterday with
Yeldon, yeah.
McDermott or Dable. One of the guys was asked about Yeldon in dressing him.
This might be a question for Sal, who's off today, but you know they dressed Sonoris Perry for special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Did they need special teams on Sunday? The Ravens didn't return kicks.
Yeah, everything was right. And then it's
the Ravens choose not to.
Then it's punt coverage.
So if you kind of know that going in, you're saying, all right, I mean, they don't return kicks. So is special teams and is a coverage guy or is player X less important? Do I finally have a window there to maybe dress someone else like a T.J. Yeldon? Because, you know, I'm kicking to a team that doesn't even bother returning kicks.
I think the answer to that is a question. Do you see this team making Frank Gore a healthy scratch?
I mean,
because if not, then you are taking another spot away to activate a fourth back. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, you know, Yeldon would just take Perry's spot. Right. I don't see them doing that. I think, I think Singletary, him emerging in this offense, he is a pass catching back. He had, I think, 8 targets the other day against Baltimore and 6 catches. So he is a pass-catching back who can handle. Frank Gore isn't. We know that. I don't see them deactivating Gore, and I think they're going to keep Perry active because this team does put a lot of stock in special teams and having guys out there for special teams purposes on coverage, return, all that stuff. I just don't see them doing that. Unless they feel maybe they, let's say they deactivate Lee Smith and they go with two tight ends in a game and say, okay, you know what, we're going to have a fifth back in T.J. Yeldon. We'll keep Gore active, we'll keep DeMarco, we'll keep Perry. We're going to put Yeldon in, five backs, where are we going? Where are you taking away another spot? They'd have to make that decision. Maybe it is Lee Smith.
Well, whoever they dress, we got to find out if they're going to win and lose these games. And, of course, we got to pick the playoff opponents, too. Only 3 weeks left. I got to do the ESPN playoff machine for this. Are you excited?
You know what? I was trying to figure out if you could do this, or someone tell me if anybody's done the math yet. If the Bills beat Pittsburgh, we know they clinch a spot.
Mm-hmm.
Do they clinch five? I can't, and I started to do the math between the Bills and Houston and Tennessee and the five seed.
Listen,
and my mind started to
hurt. I don't know why you do the math when you can just go to the New York Times playoff machine.
That's why I didn't take, because that's cheating.
It's
cheating.
I'm
a hands-on guy. That's cheating. That's like doing an open book quiz.
No, it's like driving your car to work because car is designed to do things for you.
No, that's like, you know what? That's like having an automatic car. Like, you're not even driving. You just sit in the back seat and it drives itself. That's cheating.
That sounds great.
No, I like doing work. I like getting my hands dirty. I like doing it myself. I don't like relying on a computer to do things for me.
So what'd you find out?
I stopped because it was beginning to hurt my head. It's too much math. Okay, if Houston splits their games, wait a minute, they have an NFC game. So if they do that, what's the conference tiebreaker? And it just started to hurt. It's a lot easier using the computer and let them do the work for me, but I just didn't want to do that.
Well, if the Bills win two games, they're pretty much locked into the five.
I was going on, you beat Pittsburgh, but then you could be 10-6. I'm going worst case scenario after you beat Pittsburgh. Would you clinch Sunday night? Would you clinch the five? And like I said, I should use the playoff machine, but I just didn't feel like doing
it. Well, we'll use the ESPN one so we can find out what the seed is, where they are, and how they're going to do. You've done really great this year on Pick the Bills. You haven't been wrong on that often. You picked them to lose to Baltimore.
I've been wrong. I think now that's four times, five times.
As we start this edition of Pick the Bills, we have a texter that pointed out there was a time that Howard flipped a coin for this game. Can you believe this guy?
Yeah, I don't.
He flipped a coin.
I thought that was hilarious.
People didn't like it. This game is too important.
I thought it was funny.
Let's have you pick the Bills.
A tradition unlike any other.
All right, we'll go to break. We're done.
Time
right?
to
the
pick
show's
the Bills.
Over. Is the show over?
It's time for Howard to pick the Bills.
Anyway, I'm sorry. What was the question?
Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Jackson first got a man wide open. It's the tight end Hayden Hurst on the run in the Buffalo 30, inside the 20, inside the 10, down the far sideline. He is in. Touchdown, Baltimore.
What else can we pick? Like how many beers you're going to have pregame? I'm going to pick which receiver throws a touchdown pass this week.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I don't have any coins on me, so I can't even.
Good. No flipping coins. Get it? Flipping?
No flipping.
No flipping coins.
Oh, I got it. You were using flipping as a...
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so week 15. The Bills sit at, currently, the 5 seed. If the playoffs started today, they'd go to Houston. Pittsburgh would go to Kansas City. You've got Buffalo and Pittsburgh. Might be kind of for the 5 seed. Anyway...
You know what we need to talk to the boss about? Taking our show on the road for the Friday before the wild card game.
I think that's reasonable.
And then stay in town for the game or come back. I got to figure that part out.
We're looking
out.
At Kansas City or Houston? That sounds good.
Good trips.
I'm into that.
Yeah, I'll talk to him.
Let's get some other games here. Jets-Ravens. Ravens.
Ravens, yeah. Unless like Lamar doesn't play and they're playing RG3, but yeah, Ravens.
Patriots-Bengals.
Well, now that they've filmed the Bengals sidelines and they know all the signs and the signals and they have inside information, New England.
I'm going to give you the Chiefs over the Broncos. How about Titans-Texans?
Hey, what happened? Give me the...
I'm trying to move through this to get to the Bills.
Go ahead. What was the next game?
Texans or Titans? What do we think? Titans. They're playing really well.
Yeah.
And they're home.
Is that game? Is that Tennessee?
Yeah.
Sure, I'll take the Titans.
All right, so that's how the day stacks up. And then the Bills at the Steelers in the Sunday night game.
I'm going to pick the Bills in this one. I feel good about this one. I really do. I think the Bills' defense will have its way with Pittsburgh's offense. Sorry, Devlin Hodges. Great story that it is. And I told you, take the under. It'll be a low-scoring game, but the Bills will squeak this one out.
Interestingly enough, if that all plays out, Pittsburgh falls out of the playoffs. And as of that moment, Houston's the 6.
Oh, okay.
And the Bills go to Tennessee as the 4.
Ooh, Nashville. Nice trip.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder how many Bills fans will be there.
Week 16. We'll look around. We'll go, what, Ravens over Browns? We'll go Steelers over Jets.
Sounds good.
Chiefs over Bears?
Sure. In Chicago?
Texans over Tampa, too.
Tennessee, New Orleans.
What do you want there?
Oh, who is it? Texans, Tampa? Give me Houston.
Houston, and then New Orleans to beat Tennessee?
Yeah.
Okay. Bills, Patriots.
For now, I will pick New England, but I reserve the right to change my mind that week.
If all that plays out exactly that way, everything stays the same.
Somebody check Pittsburgh's press box for a Patriots videographer crew Sunday night just to make sure they're not filming the Bills sideline.
Where are the Steelers in this week? Why can't I find the Steelers?
They play at the Jets.
We already declared that a win.
Okay, we picked them, right. Yeah.
So in that scenario, the Bills are the 5. Houston remains the 6, and everything stayed exactly the same. All 6 seeds.
Okay.
On to week 17.
I've not used a coin yet.
Steelers needing a win to get back
in. Yeah, and the Bills have clinched the playoffs, obviously, at this point.
I think in this spot, Baltimore has clinched the 1 seed because they have a 1-game lead on New England, and it's the last week of the season, and they have the tiebreaker. So does Baltimore rest their starters? Does Pittsburgh win of that?
Do the Bills rest their starters? They should against the Jets if they're in the playoffs and they're locked in, right? The division's not alive, is it? No, because they would have lost to New England.
No, it's not alive.
Anyway, I'll take the Bills to beat the Jets.
Okay.
Even if Matt Barkley
I want
plays.
All the other games first.
What was the
Steelers, Ravens?
Steelers.
Steelers, because Baltimore doesn't need it.
And Pittsburgh might need that, yeah.
Okay. New England beats Miami, or does New England rest? Because
They'll probably
still It matters.
They'll beat Miami.
Yeah, okay.
New England might
Kansas City,
the
Chargers, they get a win.
KC.
Yeah. Titans, Texans again.
Ooh, that's in Houston.
In Houston.
Give me Houston in that one.
Houston.
Let's make it fun.
All right. So it all plays out. Baltimore's the 1. New England's the 2.
Yeah.
The Bills go to Houston.
Okay.
And Pittsburgh goes to Kansas City.
Okay, I'll take that matchup in Houston.
Who do you like in Pittsburgh, Kansas City?
Oh, I think the Chiefs' offense is just too good. Give me Kansas City in that
one. Okay, and then Bills at Houston.
Man, I would take Houston for now. I don't know. And this is where I get hate tweets at me on my notifications. But I'd like the matchup. I could see the Bills beating the Texans. I've always been a big fan of Deshaun Watson. But anyway, Houston for now.
Houston to beat the Bills.
Yeah, I don't know. Wow. Where's my coin? Brayton, take out a coin and flip it.
Hey, I'm okay with it.
I'll take Houston for now.
I feel like the last couple weeks you've been picking them to win their first round matchup.
Yeah, that's what I said. I don't know. It depends. I could be in a good mood, bad mood. I don't know about that game. It really is. I think the Bills going on the road in the wild card round is a toss-up. I think they have a better shot in Houston than Kansas City. Whatever. I don't know. You want to flip it to a win? Flip it to a win. I could care less.
I mean, I feel like you care.
If they win or lose? Well, I do care that they would win.
That'd be great. Buffalo Bills football Monday.
I could care less.
Hey, the Bills beat the Texans in the playoffs, Howard. Listen, yeah. I mean, I don't care.
I'm kind of nonplussed. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of not really caring about that.
Well, all right.
All right, we'll talk more about the Bills and Sunday's game against Baltimore, Sunday's matchup against Pittsburgh, everything Bills-related. Marcel Louis-Jacques will join us from covers the Bills for ESPN.com. He is coming up in a moment. You can always join us at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. Speaking of the Bills, we're going to be roasting former Bill Eric Wood. Looking forward to that. Did you put the date down on the calendar? You should. Thursday, February 27th. We'll get you some details shortly about when ticket sales will start. But for now, we know we're going to be at Buffalo Riverworks on Thursday, February 27th, and we're roasting Eric Wood. We're excited about that. We're looking forward to what should be a wonderful night filled with some great stories, and we hope you'll be there as well. The Celebrity Roast of Eric Wood, presented by Seneca Poker and Liberty Cab, supported by Pella Windows and Doors, Bud Light, Country Suite, Dr. Beyer Optical Group, and Vera's Dry Cleaning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I got to do a better job finding completions early on. When they do show some of these pressures, you know, finding the right answer and hit one or two of those, and maybe it deters them from bringing it again. So they had some success with it, and something that I'm going to learn from. We'll look on tape and see what we can do to try to counteract that. And lost by 7 points to a really good team. You know, we're not going to let one game define us and one game make us. We're looking for number 10. We got a really good Pittsburgh team we're playing next week.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen after their loss to the Baltimore Ravens. Headlines: Howard picks the Bills and had him go 11-5, and we have got one question.
Yeah, bless you.
Texters have pointed out last week you picked them to beat the Patriots.
And did I?
Yeah, and you've since come back and say now a loss to the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't want to get the Bills too cocky.
Fair enough. Trying
to keep them grounded. You know, I only focus one game at a time. I really had all my thoughts on the Pittsburgh matchup. Why do people? You're reading. It's just a stupid exercise. Stop caring.
It matters.
No, it doesn't. It's completely random. Please don't try and overthink it. There is no rhyme or reason to anything I do on a weekly basis. Stop analyzing. It's just a waste of time for you to do that.
Everything happens for a reason.
Nothing happens for a reason.
And you,
it's all random.
You picked them to lose to the Patriots after,
and
by
last
the way.
Week, didn't last week I pick them to win a playoff game?
Yes,
and
you
this
did.
Week I flipped it. That's what I'm saying. It's all random. It makes no sense.
The Patriots lose a game.
Yeah.
You declare them dead all morning.
Yeah, you know why?
And now they're going to lose.
Because they're going to cheat and win.
That's actually, you know what? That's the best point you've made yet.
I'm dying. I'm scrambling here. It's like the duck paddling under the water.
You got know? A funny tweet. One of the stories today is about the Patriots and their videotaping the Bengals field and being caught again inappropriately filming an opponent.
The sideline. They were filming the whole first quarter, apparently? They filmed the coaches on the sideline?
Anyway, Dave Lozo has a good point on this to say, you know, one of the snarky lines is, why do they need to cheat against the Bengals? And he points out, because that's what cheating teams do. You cheat against everybody. Why would the Astros need to steal signs from Alec Asher? Because that's what you do when you're cheating. That's what he writes. Guys who take PEDs don't check the schedule and say, Jets, Bengals, Browns, I'll play it straight, and then take steroids before the Ravens game. So, yes, thank you. Dave Lozo with a good point there. If you cheat, you cheat against everybody.
Yeah.
You know, or at least you could be expected to.
Giants lost to the Eagles last night 23-17 in overtime. The Eagles now tied with Dallas for first in the NFC East at 6-7. Sabres play St. Louis at the KeyBank Center this evening at 7:30. It's on NBCSN. If you want the Sabres call of the game, it as it always is, on WGR. Jack Eichel named the NHL third star of the week for last week, had 7 points in four games. Your Heisman finalists are Justin Fields and Chase Young from Ohio State. The Ohio State. Joe Burrow of LSU and Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma. Those are your headlines brought to you by McDonald's. Enjoy bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits for just $2. Price and participation may vary. Let's go to the Western Hotline. We'll talk more Bills football with Marcel Louis-Jacques, who covers the team for ESPN.com and is with us right now. Marcel, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning, sir. Happy Tuesday.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to y'all as well. Thanks for having me on.
Marcel, we'll go with the easy one first. Will the Bills make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they make the playoffs at this point. You look at the three remaining games, and it's essentially winning you're in here. I would feel confident about the chances against Pittsburgh. I'm still feeling confident about their chances in Foxborough, too. That Patriots team does not look as dominant as it did back in week 4. And I'm definitely liking their chances against the New York Jets, who needed, I believe, a last-second field goal to beat the Dolphins this past week. So they got to win one of those, and they get to 10 wins. And I think if you say that, if you looked at every Bills fan in the eye before the season and said they could reach 10 games before the season's over, they could reach 10 games in any 10 wins in any of their last three games, I think that's something that they'll take. So it's been a good season so far. I'd expect it to continue into January.
Marcel, one, as you well know, and you had some good stats from ESPN stats that you tweeted out about Josh versus blitzes and under pressure. That was one of the key storylines coming out of Baltimore, and I think it'll continue to be against blitzing teams like Pittsburgh and New England. So let's start with Baltimore and Josh, who'd been making a lot of progress, who felt really good about his game in Dallas. What about his day against the Ravens?
No, it was disappointing to see, based on what he's been able to do over the previous three games before week 14. But you saw a lot of, you know, just all-out blitz, a lot of cover zero from Baltimore, which is more or less daring Josh Allen to read the field quickly and beat them over the middle and beat them deep. And he wasn't able to do that. You saw it from the first drive, missing John Brown. They connect on that. That's probably six. Did it again on the next drive with Robert Foster. Although there might be some equal blame there, it kind of looked like Foster had taken a little speed off of his route toward the end there before trying to pick it back up. But I need to keep watching it to make sure. And then he just flat out overthrew Dawson Knox after that. And so, you know, the plays were there, and that I think was probably the most frustrating thing for not just Bills fans, but the players and Josh himself, is the plays were on the field to make. And he just flat out missed them. There were a couple drops. You know, Dawson Knox had a pretty bad one on third down. Looked like Cole Beasley dropped one down the sideline as well later in the game. But Josh has to be able – he's got to be able to make those throws. And it's been a concern all year, the ability to connect on the deep ball. But now it becomes a dire need, because now not only have defenses figured out how to beat him, but the rest of the league was able to see it as well. The rest of the country was able to see it as well. And it's a copycat league. More teams are going to do it. And you look at Pittsburgh, I think I tweeted it out after the game, that this is what's concerned me about that Steelers game for the past several weeks, really ever since they got Minkah Fitzpatrick, is they are an elite blitzing team. They are elite at getting to the quarterback, and they're elite at taking the ball away. Third in sacks this year, first in takeaways. That's not comforting with a quarterback who just struggled against the all-out blitz just a week ago. So we'll see. He's going to have to make a pretty drastic improvement here. He's you know, toward the bottom of the rankings in completion percentage against the blitz, and while under duress this year. And once again, it's not comforting moving forward. But I will say that Josh Allen has shown the tendency to identify what he needs to fix, and he's been able to fix it. He's proved to be capable of making his own corrections. And we'll see if he can do that in a one-week span.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up. This was actually going to be my next question, to follow up on what you were just talking about. You were there yesterday for Sean McDermott and Brian Daboll, and they were both getting questions, almost like what was being talked about earlier this year after the New England loss, when they blitzed and they really confused Josh and threw off the offense. And both guys were getting questioned about, is essentially there a blueprint, you know, for the NFL to really, you know, mess with Josh Allen and the Bills offense. And for me, Marcel, I think you can think there's a blueprint, but you have to have the team to pull that blueprint off. You have to have the pass rushers, the edge rushers, you have to have the secondary. If you're going to do what Baltimore did, you have guys who can handle man-to-man. And I think the answer actually for Pittsburgh and New England is yes. Not everybody can do that. The Jets wouldn't be able to do that. But Pittsburgh and New England have the guys who can handle the pass rush, and more importantly, have the guys in the secondary to cover if indeed they're placed in man-to-man situations, if they're in cover zero.
Yeah, and that's correct. And that's what kind of scary about these Pittsburgh and New England games is, you know, they do have guys like Minkah Fitzpatrick and Joe Hayden in the secondary, or McCourty's and Josh Jackson in the secondary. They've got the dudes to cover and to make life difficult for Josh and his receivers. But even still, even with the count in the secondary that Baltimore had, it boils down to Buffalo still had a chance to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
They still had a chance to win this game, even with the mistakes they made. They connect on one or two of those deep balls, and they hang on to a ball a little longer. They don't give the Ravens a short field. They don't. There's a lot of, you know, shooting themselves in the foot there that kept them from winning the game. And so I know that there's no moral victory at this point, which I think should be I think is a positive sign for, for this franchise and for this fan base, that you're no longer looking at losses and trying to find the silver lining. It's disappointing that you lost, period. You're a good team. You should win games. And that's a real turning of the tide here. But there were plenty of opportunities to win that game, and they didn't. And that just shows, though, you make certain corrections. You tighten things up. You don't play so sloppily on offense. And, you know, you can beat – and they could beat good teams. Like, I think they have the capability to beat good teams. You can't say that about every squad. You can't look at every game and say, oh, well, yeah, they can beat anybody in the league. No, I fully believe that Buffalo could beat anybody in the league right now.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Marcel.
Clean football.
Yeah, I don't –
they play clean football.
That's why I think the moral victory thing is interesting, because I think the statement I'm going to make to you is going to sound like a moral victory. But, you know, you lose the game – but you emerge from that looking at the Bills. If you were skeptical of their schedule, and even if you thought, boy, you know, the Dallas game doesn't look as good because look what happened to Dallas after the Bills game, you emerge from Sunday's game saying, okay, that's the best team in the conference for sure, if not the best team in the league, and you can now feel like, okay, hey, these guys can contend with the best in the league based on what you saw on Sunday.
Yeah, and it's they've done so against the best teams on their – on their schedule. If you look back, I think it's pretty obviously New England, Baltimore, in no order, New England, Baltimore, Tennessee, and Dallas and Philadelphia. And four of those five games, they either won or, you know, played it tight enough that they could have won the game. The Philadelphia game, it seems like an anomaly at this point, but at the time it was, you know, concerned because that was a good team, or seemingly a good team, that blew the Bills out of the water on their own field. And that's when you started to think, huh, okay, maybe they have beaten up on bad teams. But I think they've done enough to silence that narrative right now. But there's still work to be done before, you know, they really change every opinion out there.
Marcel Louis-Jacques with us from ESPN.com. Final question for you, Marcel. If you could just talk a little bit about we've talked all season about the development, the growth of this offense, and we tend to talk a lot about Josh Allen. For a while there, it was receivers, but I wanted to ask you about the emergence of Devin Singletary. Clearly, he's the number one back. He just had a season high in terms of snap percentage. He had 23 touches. If you could, it's a guy that I think a lot of people were excited about in training camp, and we spent the first month going, hey, after he was come back from the injury, hey, why don't they use Singletary more? And now you can see this kid emerge, and he's handling whatever role they need for him to handle, like blitz pickup and catching the ball as well on Sunday.
Yeah, and then the blitz pickup, I've said it a couple times, that is, I think that's where he's grown the most since training camp. I mean, I think he was, from what I saw, from the reps that I saw, I mean, he was on par with Christian Wade in training camp as far as pass protection. Considering that Christian Wade was just learning how to pass protect, it's not a good thing. But I think that both of them have improved. Wade, obviously, just in the practice realm. But Singletary, it is funny that you say, you know, everybody spent the first half of the season talking about where is Singletary, where is he, that it almost feels like a reflex now. Like, I've still got people asking me, why don't we give Singletary the ball more? Well, he was the focal point of 37 or 38% of the Bills' offensive snaps. Yesterday, on Sunday, 25 either rushes or targets. That's a decent workload for him.
Yeah.
And I think the most positive thing out of that is that he has continued to produce at that ridiculous level that he was getting, or that he was doing in limited snaps. He's still averaging 5 yards per carry. He can still make the first guy miss and turn nothing into something. I think it. Especially these past two games, the Dallas game, I thought he ran harder than I'd ever seen all week, and then he just bested that against the Ravens. When really he was beaten, he had seven guys in his face right off the bat, and you know he still could wiggle his way out the back. So I think he's an impressive back. I think he's a guy. He's got three down potential. It's so early to talk draft season and. Really, it's not relevant for the Bills for another 2 months. But there are a lot of people who are suggesting the Bills still taking an extra back from this draft, whether it's a Jonathan Taylor or J.K. Dobbins is probably not going to be around, but a Travis Etienne or A.J. Dillon, I think that probably still makes sense. You, with as much as the Bills are going to want to run the ball, it makes sense to have two backs to do so, especially one that's maybe more of a chain mover. But I think if they just ran with Devin Singletary out there, I think that this offense would survive. He's been an impressive rookie and really a revelation for the Bills offense, because I can't imagine where it would be without his playmaking ability. He's clearly the best playmaker on this team, with John Brown probably following a close second. But without Devin Singletary, this would be a floundering offense.
You can read Marcel's coverage of the Bills at ESPN.com. Marcel, thanks. Nice to have you on the show again. Thanks for giving us some time this morning.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on, y'all.
That is Marcel Louis-Jacques on our Wester Hotline here on WGR. 803-0550 for you to join us with your thoughts on the Bills. 888-552-550. Hey, when you live and play in Western New York, there are perks. So before you stop out to your favorite local businesses, make sure you stop in to getmyperks.com. You can save on your favorite restaurants and shops and services. Sitting in a cold car is no fun. Skip scraping ice off your windows with a keyless car starter from B&R Auto Accessories. Right now, get a $379 starter for just $279. That is at getmyperks.com. Remember, the perks to living in Western New York are just a few clicks away. You can find them by going to getmyperks.com.
Working up some fun trivia for you when we get back. Steelers trivia.
This is Rick Jenneret reminding you to keep up to date on all the latest hockey news from your home for the Buffalo Sabres play-by-play action. WGR Buffalo Sports Radio 550.
Jeremy White here for Quick Clean 731-1474. It's not clean until it's quick clean. If you have a furnace and you have air ducts, lots of stuff gets in those ducts. Quick Clean, that's what they do, is get it out. They have their truck-mounted vacuum system come to your home or your business. They do homes and businesses, residences, commercial properties, and they will send their vacuum system right into those air ducts, extract all the debris. Sometimes that can be drywall and building materials. Sometimes it's magazines or cigarette butts. A lot of times it's just inches of mold and mildew and dirt and dust and pet dander and all that stuff. They'll suck that all out and scrub the ducts clean and sanitize them so you have better air quality in your home. You call Quick Clean at 731-1474 if you need that done. You can call them if you need flood restoration, if you need upholstery cleaning, carpet cleaning, whatever it might be. Quick Clean can help you with all of that. 731-1474. That's 731-1474. It's not clean until it's Quick Clean. Who's ready for some instant trivia? I know you're excited.
We raised our hands. Is that okay for radio? No?
Doesn't. So, Bills play the Steelers this weekend. No Roethlisberger, of course. And a lot of times when the Bills will play a team, we do, all right, the last 10 guys to start for them, or the last, how many players, how many quarterbacks have started a full 16 games for this team? And, you know, those are all cool and stuff, but there's a new one this week. Since taking over the starting job in 2004, Ben Roethlisberger has had to miss time, and 8 different backups have had to play.
Ooh.
Roethlisberger gets hurt every year. Roethlisberger has played a full 16 games, once in 2008, once in 2013, and once in 2014. So 3 times in his career has he played the full season.
All right.
He's always missing time. Give me the 8 quarterbacks that have gone in to help an injured Ben Roethlisberger.
We're including this year's?
Yes.
Okay. Tommy Maddox.
Tommy Maddox is correct.
Landry Jones.
Is correct.
Duck Hodges.
Is correct.
Mason Rudolph.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brian St. Pierre.
No.
But I like Brian St. Pierre being worked into the conversation.
Hmm.
Yeah, now the fun starts. Geez, how far back are we going?
This 2004, is after, right?
You're going Roethlisberger's
this
career.
This is after Cordell Stewart, right? This is after... Yeah, it's after Cordell Stewart. Okay.
Charlie Batch.
Correct. Charlie Batch played games for the Steelers in 2005, 2006, 2007, 2010, 2011, 2012.
Got to tell you, I'm at Hintland, so go ahead,
how about
Brayton.
Bruce Gradkowski?
No.
Again, he was with the Steelers. I like that guest. Former Toledo Rocket. The guest, Toledo Rocket there. He played with the Raiders, I think. He might have gotten some starts with the Raiders.
Played for the Bucs, too, for sure.
Did he play for the Bucs?
Pretty okay. sure. I just said for sure and then followed it up with pretty sure.
Pretty sure.
It was quick. Sacked that off a bit.
Boy, who else?
There's Steelers. A long last named guy.
Roethlisberger?
Well, no. Oh. No, that backed him up.
Nope.
No.
None of the answers to these guys have very long names.
Boy, who else was in Pittsburgh?
Texter guesses Josh Dobbs. No. Missing three.
Josh Cribbs.
No. You're down to three. Three different players have also come in to help for an injured Ben Roethlisberger.
Man, why am I just drawing a blank here?
Hey, I'm drawing your same blank. That's par for the course for me.
Two of these guys are best known for playing for another franchise. They were actually legitimate starters that played for other franchises. And
there's no McCowns on this list.
You forgot one of these guys played for the Steelers. Totally forgot. In fact, to the point where, no, I mean, I guess it happened. I just wanted to check that Wikipedia didn't get hacked.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not gonna get it without clues.
His final season was 2015. He started three games for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Through two touchdowns and a pick. He had stopped off with the Jets just before, the Eagles for 5 years before that, missed football for 2 years, and before that was with
Michael Vick. Michael Vick was That's not right. in Pittsburgh.
Yes, he was.
You remember him in Pittsburgh?
Yep. Yeah. He wore like number two, and it was just the weirdest look ever.
I do not remember him in Pittsburgh at all. I got some inside info here.
Yeah. Ugh.
I got a text for Byron Leftwich.
Correct. That's Byron the other Leftwich. Guy that played for another organization.
Currently the offensive coordinator
Chris Brown,
for the
BuffaloBills.com.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
Chris Brown.
Chris Brown he got that one. Stuff. Byron Leftwich. Thank one you, Chris. More. Who can get this one? One more.
Is it a pretty obvious one?
It's only obvious in our quarterback trivia obvious way. A texter, Jeff, did get it.
A Heward.
No, it's not a Heward. I always get the same clue for this guy. And that is that I'm pretty sure he went to Oregon. He did. He played at the University of Oregon, drafted in 2008 in the fifth round. Great college player, didn't do much for the Steelers. Did he spend a minute here? Yeah, he did. His Pro Football Reference picture is definitely him in a Bills uniform. Wait, except he never played for the Bills.
Was he in camp at some point?
Yes, he's wearing a
Bills jersey. Yeah, it's blue.
Right.
It's a blue top.
That's a Bills jersey and a Pro Football Reference.
You showed me the
picture.
Answer, by the way.
Dennis Dixon.
Dennis, yeah. Would he have been?
He would have been here for
some point,
a cup
then.
Of coffee or something.
He didn't play in like he was a maybe a fourth preseason guy or.
That's so funny that his Pro Football jersey. Reference picture is definitely a Bills
Dennis
collar.
Dixon.
Wikipedia has him listed with the Bills 2013-14.
Practice squad following an injury to E.J. Manuel.
Okay.
Those are all your backups.
I never remember Dennis Dixon.
That have played during the Roethlisberger era.
I remember him in college, too. There's no way Michael Vick played for the Steelers. I'm sorry. I'm calling shenanigans on Wikipedia.
I'm disappointed that Gradkowski wasn't an answer.
I think he played for the Raiders, though, right? He would have gotten starts in Oakland, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the other guy.
But he was in Pittsburgh, right? Because he's a Western Pennsylvania kid. I think that's the backstory on him. Look up his bio. I know he played at Toledo, but I thought when he was in Pittsburgh, they were making a big deal about a Pennsylvania kid being in Pittsburgh. You looking his bio up?
Dixon?
Gradkowski.
Gradkowski?
All right, we'll do that when we get
Where
back.
Where did he go to college? He was a Max
Toledo. Toledo. University of Toledo.
Yeah, he was
But he's
Toledo,
a Pennsylvania native, right?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, yep.
That's why I think he was in Pittsburgh at some point because it was hometown kid.
How many games did Bruce Gradkowski start in his career?
Four.
12.
20.
Whoa!
He appeared in 37 games. Wow. He has started 20.
Oakland?
Tampa, Cleveland, Oakland, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh.
He started with all those teams?
He appeared with all those teams. He started for Tampa.
I don't think he was on that many
started
teams.
Started for Oakland, never started for Pittsburgh. He appeared in one game.
That long-named last-name person I was
That's
thinking of was Marquise Tuiasosopo.
Oh. What? That's much older, though, right?
Yeah.
How about
he never
this?
Played for the Steelers.
Hold on. Gradkowski, in his one appearance with the Steelers, was 0 for 0 for 0 yards with 0 touchdowns, 0 picks, 0 yards per game, but his QBR for that day was an 85.
Well, good, because he didn't turn the ball over. I'd be lost without Chris Brown. So here's the deal. He texted me again. Gradkowski started for the Raiders against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. Henceforth, the whole Pittsburgh kids playing against his hometown team. That's the story that was in the deep recesses of my brain somewhere. Thank you, Chris. 803-0550 to join us. Speaking of Pittsburgh, at 9:30, former Bill, former Steeler, Arthur Motes will join us. He's working in Pittsburgh radio these days. We'll talk about the Steelers with him. Got a little better to forget it on the way. We'll bet Brayton's next paycheck. Some good football notes on that. That's coming up in a moment on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.